Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/modern. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Star Wars Book Club podcast, your Star Wars stop for all things comics, new EUs, books, and general Star Wars whatnot that we usually always end up slipping into. This is number 16.
17.
That's what happens when we do them back to back. For this episode, we're actually not covering any books or anything that came out, but we're going to be looking back on the year as a whole as we're entering our first year and kind of therefore wrapping up the first year of the Star Wars resurgence of The Force Awakens and all these new comics and EUs. It's incredible that they fit so much into the year. I am your host, Blake Schultz. With me, as always, is Harley Salbaca.
Hey, guys.
And Tyler Berry.
I was thinking you were going to forget to do the introductions.
No, I was just, I had a lot of build up, man. I get excited. It's new years, new resolutions, and we get to talk all of the Star Wars things. So to kick it off, guys, this was kind of the year we wiped the EU. It's gone. It's dead. It's buried. People shouldn't even be talking about it anymore, except for things that we miss a little bit.
Like, talking about what, Blake?
Yeah, there's never.
Also, can I just say that the old EU, while it had great moments, was never officially canon. We need to remember this.
Well, there were levels of canon, right? It was the movies and then the TV shows and then the books.
Well, but I meant of the books.
Yeah. Well, it was. It was a very complicated tapestry.
It wasn't, because the old EU books were fun. Lots of cool stuff happened, except for Chewbacca dying, but none of that was canon.
He got hit by a planet.
I know.
There's probably a lot of people who would debate you on that. It was definitely.
They came out and said it. They said that it was never canon.
Yeah, that's what Disney said when they wiped it.
No, they said it before that. Trust me, I do my research.
All right. So what do we guys think? New EU, it's taken off, going in the right direction. We're feeling good about it, I assume.
Well, I mean, we've been doing a podcast about it for like how many months now?
Right?
We could do a podcast on something that wasn't good. It's not necessarily.
Right. We did an episode about Point Break on our other podcast the other day, the remake, which is a whole thing.
I mean, yeah, it's just really bad. But speaking to this, I think it's off to a really good start. I mean, a couple slip-ups here and there, Chewy.
Right.
But overall, I just think they've been doing a great job of expanding the stories, especially like with the Star Wars comic and the Darth Vader comic. They've just been expanding on the stories that we already know and just adding new like pieces of information and like just fleshing out those characters that we know and love even more than already than they have already have been. So I just think, it's off to a really good start. And like I said in last week's episode, I'm just wondering how much longer we're gonna stick on this point between A New Hope and Empire. That's my only concern right now is like how much longer, because as you said, Blake, it's really only like a year between A New Hope and Empire. Really, how many more stories can we fit in that year?
Right.
Yeah. And how long do we feel like it's been in the comic?
I don't know.
I feel it's been
in a good few months.
I feel like it's been I feel like it's been like 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a lot of stuff that they've been doing, like that's been going on.
Right. And that's kind of what I mean is I'm like, you're getting close. And we talked a bit about how Vader down was sort of a disappointing ending because it got so close to doing things that would have affected the movies in a way that would have diffused a lot of big moments. So we know that like Vader and Luke can't get together that often.
Yeah.
You can't have like Han and Lando go out adventuring in between these things. Like you at a certain point, you kind of gotta like get past it. And it's an interesting hump, but like Harley has said in the past, all you need to do, I mean, Star Wars is kind of a thing that's built on starting with a ton of exposition. They do the big scrolly text, every episode of the Clone Wars opened with an old-time newsy guy telling you what's going on, it would be really easy to open one of these comics and just have it be like, it's a period of post-Empire Strikes Back. Yep. Like, all
Though,
you need.
I think that the fact that it didn't interfere with any of the big moments in Empire also made it a good ending.
That's true. It would have been more frustrating to
because
be like,
I would have been like pissed if I was like, you just ruined that big moment.
Right. Well, and that's what I was saying, that they could have kind of worked around that and had a bigger payoff without being like, and now Vader and Luke are having their first standoff and he finds out that he's a, like, you know. And that's the other thing too, is like with the Darth Vader focus on finding Luke, that doesn't, we know that that's not going to come to a head in a way that we need. He's going to either have to fail or get focused on something else, which is why I imagine we'll circle back to the Carbon and all the, and the twins and these creepy Sith people that are all chilling.
You know, now that you say that, I'm wondering if that was his failure, Vader's failure to get Luke. Like, what if there's not another moment where he has the opportunity? That would make that ending so much more powerful if that's what we come to find out, that there's just not another chance before, you know, their big moment in Empire. There's just not another chance for him to really get Luke. Like, what if he has officially failed his mission?
I
that
feel
would
like
be
that's
really
right.
Interesting. That would
I feel
be
like
cool.
That's, I feel like that you're a genius, and that's exactly what they were trying to do.
Well, and that would work, too, because the Emperor is the one who tells him, like, in time, he will come to you.
Yeah.
He will come to me. Which is one of my favorite deliveries that James Earl Jones has, because it's so, like, quizzical. Like, it's one of the only times where he's not, like, stoic and strong, and he's almost just like, wait, what?
Also,
you're
Blake,
talking crazy.
Like, I like, your property's right on here, James Earl Jones, is really funny.
I know, I can't, I just, you did.
It's too, I mean, it's like me, well, I mean, I would never try to do either of those, because that would be hilarious.
Right.
Because I'd be so bad.
But yeah, it's interesting to see, and I'm hoping too, like, once you get past Empire, it's like we said on the last episode too, you have a much bigger opportunity to really build the lore of the Jedi and motivate where Luke is in The Force Awakens, and kind of what's going on with all these temples and why those are relevant, where right now, that's, even Luke says in the comic, like, he doesn't get a shot to go back there.
I think all of that has been my favorite part about all of this. Is that one thing I really liked about the prequels was that they really went into a lot of the mythos.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like, I love how they're building on it with the Jedi artifacts and the temples and all this other stuff. That's probably one of my favorite parts about this whole series, is that we get to see all that stuff. So it doesn't make it feel, because sometimes I feel a bit of a disconnect, obviously, between the prequels and the original series, because, like, one was focused on this so much that it almost, like, at points, I'm always like, it doesn't almost feel like the same universe, even though I know it is. This is making them feel really cohesive for me.
Right.
And I love it. I think that everything that they've done in these comics has strengthened the prequels for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. A lot.
Which is an impressive feat, is much to say. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely, like, they're just nailing it. Like, every time they introduce a character now, I'm just like, awesome. And all the new characters, too, that they're introducing are really interesting, but it falls into the same pratfall of, like, something has to happen to Aphra. And it's almost kind of a bittersweet thing. But on new characters, do you guys have a favorite new character that we've met this year? We all know Tyler's.
Santi. Yeah. Hands down. And that says something, considering he's been in literally 3 issues this entire new EU, but he's just awesome. And he clearly has a past, as we said last week also. It's like, he clearly has a past with Han and presumably with Chewie as well. And I really am hoping this year in 2016, like, we find out what that past is.
Right?
Yeah, me too.
What if, because we know they're making a Boba Fett movie, and he was introduced as palling around with Boba Fett.
That's what I've been hoping for since they announced a Boba Fett movie. I was like, wait, but he's supposed to be like Boba Fett's Wookiee, just like Chewie is Han's Wookiee. So that means he's probably going to be in a movie, right? And we're probably going to get plushies. Oh my God, Tyler's face is amazing right now. Oh God, I wish that everyone could see his face.
Oh.
Oh my God.
I'd flip.
And the only way it could get better is if they got Vin Diesel to do all of the like mocap and yells for him, because we know he can nail things like that with Groot.
Yeah, but I don't want Santee sounding exactly like Groot.
Yeah, ditto. Santee's probably my favorite too, though. I mean, I like a lot of the new characters. I love the evil droids. We know that those are your favorites.
And Triple
my
Zero.
Favorite actually is different because, from them. I thought about it a lot last night, and I thought of one that I liked a little bit more.
Because they're hilarious. And I love, of course, like, Aftra having a new female character. Because I like her a lot because she's very multifaceted. Yeah. They didn't make her one-sided. She's pretty badass. She's, like, you know, like, basically a doctor. She's an archaeologist. So she's basically, like, Indiana Jones in the Star Wars universe and a chick. And she has a lot of great moments with Vader. So I really dig her a lot.
Well, she challenges Vader in a way that we don't really see anybody
else.
She's
got balls.
And she's had a really interesting arc of being like, I don't care if I die. And in Vader Down, she straight up was like, all I'm doing right now is making sure Vader doesn't kill me. That's what's left.
Yeah.
And his dynamic with her is interesting too, because it's like, yeah, he's his typical, like, you don't do what I say and you're dead Vader, but like at the same time, there's these little moments throughout like their interactions where it's like he's kind of like feeling her a little bit. Not, I don't mean in that way, but just like he kind of likes having her around. He kind of likes having someone he can,
I think,
trust. I guess
I think we touched on this before with the annual. I think that he just Vader has a softer side for women because only two people in his entire life.
Angels.
Well, the only two people in his entire life that he ever felt strong connections to were his mother and Padme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they were also the only two people that understood him.
Yes.
In a way that, like, where the Jedis kind of wouldn't treat him well.
Yeah.
Palpatine was obviously super manipulative.
And we know now, after reading the Obi-Wan and Anakin, that he was talking to Obi-Wan about leaving the Jedi Order.
Right.
And we have to assume it all connects to, again, his mother and Padme. So I feel like he just kind of has a softer side for women in general.
Yeah.
And so with dudes, he'll just kill him. He doesn't care. With women, I think every woman he looks at reminds him of those two people in his life.
Yeah.
And he probably is there going, I can't kill her. Which is why I think he always seems to have a connection to women and not kill them. Because he didn't kill the chick in the annual.
That's true, but he also was, you know, subduing her planet with fear by giving her a piece of Alderaan.
Yeah, but he also...
God, what a great moment.
That was... Oh my God, that might have been...
That was up there in the running for my favorite moment of last year's comics, was him giving her that little piece of Alderaan. That was insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so unexpected. I couldn't have seen that coming.
Chills.
It was awesome.
That was
awesome.
Great. But
who's your favorite character?
Mine is actually, and BT and Triple Zero, they're up there. But I thought about it for a little bit. My favorite character is actually the new guy from the Star Wars annual, the like spy.
Oh yeah, he was really badass.
Oh yeah, dude, he was really cool.
Yeah, he was. I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? He's the one that I really thought like had such a rich and different personality than we've seen in Star Wars. He had so much potential for storytelling. And I love that he was one of the few people that we've seen just be like, I'm killing the Emperor. I'm taking my shot. And he wouldn't stop.
Also, I think that, okay, because I have to think, whenever I read the comics, I go, okay, how is this connecting to what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
And the fact that, A, on the ride at Disneyland, when you go on, there's a rebel spy. You know, like someone's a rebel spy.
I've been
and
the
that's
rebel
why
spy
you're,
before.
I have too. Only once, though. That was sad. But like, and then we have this whole annual about a rebel spy who's like deep in there. It makes me wonder. I'm like, okay, so someone in the new movies is going to be a rebel spy, because why else are we going to put it in? That's what everyone's been saying that. But like somebody, I don't know if I think that it's going
to
be Phasma.
See,
but
I
like,
want Phasma to be just a cold.
That's what I want too.
Well, because
I just want more Phasma.
I do me want too. More Phasma, but I was thinking about like. Like, it's like, just like, they're doing a really good job of doing representation of women in the new movies better than they had before. And
thank you.
All of that's really, really good. But they've never really had, like, a bad female. And they, like, in cinema, really, in general, you never really see the, like, and you do every now and then in, like, Disney movies, but it's very rare that it's, like, the female mastermind. And I kind of, and a lot of people are like, I bet Phasma's going to end up switching. I'm like, I hope everybody just stays bad. Like, we've seen so much switching in Star Wars. It's always the thing. And I'm like, no, let Phasma and Kylo Ren, like, revel in being bad people. But anyways. But yeah, that was he was my favorite character because I just thought
he was cool.
Really complex.
What's his name?
He had two of them, and I don't have my notes in front of me, and now I've blanked out on them. But
he was great.
He was great. But
that was a great issue.
That was in my running for my favorite issue. But
where the Vader issue annual was interesting, but it was that one moment that made it. You know,
yeah,
it was an interesting issue seeing him interact with their culture. It was the one moment that made it with her and the piece of Alderaan.
Right.
That whole other annual for Star Wars, that entire Star Wars annual was amazing.
It was great.
The whole thing was good.
But, yeah. And they've been, all of the new characters have been great, except for that little whiny kid in the Chewbacca series.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
Just doesn't add much. But
I mean, that unfortunately was my low point.
I think we can all agree that was the low point. And I know we talked a little bit about how it was like... Well, it's probably like the one meant for kids and yada, yada, yada. But Star Wars in general has always kind of been meant for everybody.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely been one of those things. And I'm like,
in general, it's been age appropriate across the board.
Right. So to almost talk down to a younger audience, which is like kind of what I thought Chewbacca did. Like whenever when people make that argument, I'm like, but Star Wars can be read by kids and Vader can be read by kids and Leia and Lando. This one, it's almost patronizing. Like when they make a child's cartoon and you're like, why not make it like Powerpuff Girls or Courage the Cowardly Dog or Dexter's Lab where it's a little bit smarter. They're smart kids. They'll figure it out. But speaking of series, what was your guys' favorite, like just series in general for the year?
I think I'm going to have to go with Vader, with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Darth Vader. Just because I love seeing complexities in characters that we didn't see before. And I think most of what happened with him just made his character so much richer for me. Like, I always found Vader fascinating and liked Vader, but like now I'm like, I love Vader. I love him even more. And I think they did a really good job just really enriching his character. And also I think a lot of the parts that, again, enriched the prequels were in Darth Vader.
Yeah.
In his specific book. That was the moments. And you had some epic moments. I still think, I just remember reading it and just the first moment when he realizes that he has a child and seeing all the flashbacks to him and Padme and then seeing his fist and then the whole glass breaking. That was such, that cut me deep. That moment cut me deep in the comic.
Oh yeah, because it's great. Tyler, were you also Vader or did you have another one?
Man, I went back and forth between... three different series, but I think mine's got to be Leia.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
I mean, she was already a strong character, but I just feel like that whole miniseries just shed some new light on her and just made her... It just fleshed her character out more, which is like what those miniseries are supposed to do, which is why I don't feel like Chewie was a success, because I don't feel like they fleshed his character out anymore. But
yeah, we didn't get to know him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But we got to know Leia a lot more. Yeah. And for me, it was like, I don't think I realized it until the moment that I saw her in Force Awakens, but the moment that I saw her, I was like, wow, that's General Leia, that's Princess Leia, like that's...
Yeah.
Like, and for whatever reason, I just think it was the comic that really like strengthened her character and made me have even more respect for her character as a whole. And plus, it just had the best final speech.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I've ever read in a comic.
I'd have to agree.
In the last issue of that miniseries. It was just brilliant. And yeah, it Lando is a very, very close second, again, because I love Lando, and he's an awesome character, and that final moment is awesome, but yeah, for me, it's Leia, and I think it just strengthened her character, even her character on the screen, because of how well it was written, and how much her character grew.
So. Well, because I think, too, like, people forget, because we've all grown up watching Star Wars and we love these characters, we forget that Leia is not a, a sweet, touchy-feely kind of person.
Nope.
Yeah.
People, like, I had people when they left Force Awakens, like, a lot of people were like, gosh, Leia just was so, like they were, like, trying to say that Carrie Fisher's acting was really bad. And I said, well, why do you think it was really bad? They're like, she just was so, like, reserved and cold and, like, business-like the whole time. And I was like, yeah, she's a general. She's been a general for... over, like, for decades now. I was like, also, if you watch the original movies, she's always been like Han's the one who, like, is like, no, you like me. She's like, no, I like nice men. Like, shut up, get out of here. Like, why are you here?
Lando, he's a scoundrel. You'd like him.
Yeah, like, it's like all that kind of stuff. And then reading the miniseries, you really, I think you're right. You get to know that everyone thinks she's an ice princess.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like one of the first things they say, because it's like she's not crying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
over her loss immediately. It's like, well, of course she's not. She's in charge. She's got to, like, she's got to put on a brave face.
Right. Also, if she was going to cry about her loss, Yavin would have gotten blown up. And you all would have died.
Yeah.
Also, I think that's why it makes her moment in, again, spoilers, which you all should know spoilers, in Force Awakens great when Han dies and she feels it. And we see her bending over and, like, hunched over, holding her heart, like, and you see the look on her face. I love when
they do that. Like, they do that with Yoda, too, in Order 66 comes, and he, like, drops his cane and, like, shakes all over. I love when they cut to people just, like, having that impact on them.
Because people were like, yeah, she wasn't, like, crying or anything. I'm like, well, we had her amazing emotional reaction. I thought that was great. Again, for someone who was in a room full of people she's in charge of.
Right.
She is very businesslike.
Yeah, she's awesome. My favorite is actually Lando, and I did the same thing. I went back and forth, and I think Lando topped it because I feel like he was the guy we knew really the least about, and it also, like, and it was such a different, like, genre for Star Wars to tackle this, like, heist, smuggler, on the run kind of storyline.
Espionage.
Like, yeah, it was the espionage kind of, like, noir story. And I thought the art also reflected that, which was really interesting and, like, a new tone. Like, it felt like an 80s movie, and I thought that was so cool. And you got so many fun Lando moments, and it really made that character so three-dimensional. And I just think, and I just love Lando. Like, he's just so, like, suave and swashbuckling and cool that it was fun to see him be able to hold on to that while being, like, terrified. Like, he never really, like, broke down. Like a lesser miniseries would have been like, no, show him, like, getting really upset. But they always kind of kept him, all of those moments were really quiet. Like, even when Lobo goes down, he's still, like, is like, sorry there, buddy, but we'll make it through. Like, he never breaks who he is. But you can tell that it still hurts him in a way that I thought was really interesting. And it was just so cool to see all of the, like, Emperor's goods and wells, and, like, just the fact that he's, like, holding on, that as hard as he is trying to destroy this religion to the point that it becomes a myth, like, even everyone believes Vader's what's left of that ancient religion, and by the time Force Awakens rolls around, no one knows anything about it. As much as he's trying to destroy that, he's keeping stuff.
Yeah.
So there, like, it almost goes into what we were talking about in the last episode with what was cut out of The Force Awakens of Snoke talking about sentimentality, that, like, even the Emperor might have had that hook and that emotional, like, baggage of, like, well, I have to keep some of the things around. Certainly. That's nice. It would be a shame if I got broken. That was what I used to kill Plagueis. He meant everything to me. That's how I learned how to cheat death. But... like, it almost makes him three-dimensional without him being on the screen, which is, I think, a nice trick, too. Well, my last question with this, and then we'll kind of go into some other, like, what we want to see next things. Did you guys have a favorite just overall issue or moment at all outside of the series? If there was there one thing that really...
Well, I said one of mine, but, like, there were just a lot of great moments.
There were.
Mine is the moment in the Darth Vader annual.
Yeah.
Where he gives a, gosh, I can't remember
her name. The Alderaan to the queen.
Yeah, where he gives that piece of Alderaan to, I couldn't remember that, her name.
Yeah. He lifts the crown off of the ground and just force puts it on her head and is like, now you will rule. Yeah. By the way, here's a rock. Because I blow shit up when I get mad.
That was one of the more like unexpected moments in an issue that we get that at least yeah. in my opinion. And that was my favorite moment.
So good.
And I mean, obviously the Leia speech made me tear up.
So good.
Mine is definitely the one you mentioned when Vader finds out. And the moment after when he gets on the screen with Palpatine and is like, now I understand our relationship. Like, that was good. And I just love how much it motivates the redemption story of him making that choice. But there were just so many good moments in it.
The funny dark moment I like was where, Triple Zero, kills another droid, and then he says, oh, don't worry, I shut down his pain receivers before, and that's when we're all like, wait, droids really, we've heard them.
Why would you program them to feel?
But at the same time, we think about it, we already knew that, though, because you get to the one part I forgot which of the original droids, where they're torturing a droid and screaming. Oh, it's
in Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace.
And he's yelling. Screaming. And so I'm there being like, wait, are they just straight up we built humanoids to be our slaves? Oh,
yeah,
great.
They're okay. the second class citizens. I also just love too. On that same note, there's that really weird moment in Revenge of the Sith when Obi-Wan's slashing down battle droids, and the one's like, "No, please don't. I feel." And I was like, I just picture one of them now. Whenever Anakin turns on a lightsaber, being like, "No, not me. I've built a family out of my fallen brothers.
Oh God,
I have a son." It gets, and that means R2 felt being like his head got blown off several times. He's what we were talking about in another episode. He's seen some stuff. He's broken.
Well, we don't necessarily know that type. We know for sure that certain types of droids feel, maybe not all of them. Does he scream?
R2?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does scream.
All the time.
But out of pain. When someone's doing something presumably. It's painful.
Yeah. Well, and he kicks that. He zaps that super battle droid when it hits him too.
Yeah,
which is a reaction you would have if you felt pain.
He's just a badass. He doesn't scream about it as much as the other.
Right, he doesn't
bitches.
Whine like that Goldie boy. But awesome. Are there any moving forward into 2016? Are there any characters you want to see that we haven't seen, or anything from The Force Awakens that you think should get a comic?
Everything from
The Force Awakens.
I'm really ready for that C-3PO one shot. I need it.
Journey to Episode 8.
I need to know about that arm. I need to know now. So hurry the hell up, February.
Right. Yeah, I think the biggest thing I want to know more about from The Force Awakens is the Knights of Ren. So if they got a nice little issue, I'd be super down for that.
I don't think they will, though, because I think that's stuff they're going to save for the cinematic universe.
I know.
I'd like to... I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but I'd like to see what actually happened to Poe when he and Finn crashed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we follow Finn. We have no idea Poe's... quote-unquote, we have no idea... that Poe's even alive until an hour later in the movie. So.
Right.
Well, because he's originally supposed to die then.
Yeah.
So
that would be kind of cool, seeing his Jakku adventures. Yeah. I also want to see them go back, and I want to get a Qui-Gon and a Mace Windu miniseries.
Yeah, I want to see that. Great.
Those are the two big ones that I'm like, after if Obi-Wan and Anakin work, which it will, because the first issue was great.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
I imagine that, it would be really fun too. There's a bit in the Clone Wars where you meet a woman who's in love with Obi-Wan, and the big thing that you discover is that he had some feelings for her, and Qui-Gon basically was like, make a choice, the Jedi Order or her, and he chose the Order.
Yeah.
And even when she's like, I still love you, all he says to her is that was the biggest choice of my life, but he walks away.
Yeah.
Because he's a good Jedi who doesn't sleep around like Anakin. But I think it would be really cool.
He only slept with one person.
That we know of. It gets lonely at war.
Oh, goodness.
But, and he's so angry all the time. That must be why.
Sexual frustration.
That's what it is.
I'm just saying, the dark side has one thing that Jedis don't.
I don't know, but But it would be really fun, I think, to go back and actually see Qui-Gon, like, training Obi-Wan and watching Obi-Wan sort of struggle a bit. Because he does have, like, the snarky moments and the moments where, I mean, even in, like, Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin's like, Yoda's telling me I have to learn how to let go of everything, Obi-Wan's like, well, yeah, there's a reason we're not all Yoda.
Yeah.
People get attached to stuff. And they go into that in the Clone Wars, too, in an interesting way, where he even tells Anakin, he's like, yes, the trick is to let go, but they don't tell you that that actually brings a lot of pain and remorse. Like, you have emotions.
Yeah.
You just have to control them.
I think I want more Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, I would always
have more Boba Fett.
I mean, I'm not saying you have to give me a miniseries. I know we're going to get, like, a Boba Fett, like, origin movie or whatever. But can I have a one shot of, like, what the heck he's doing while everybody's doing this stuff? Like, what's his normal day to day? I want to know.
How about a Bosk miniseries or IG-88?
No, I just... Maz Kanata.
Yes!
Maz Kanata.
You could do so much with that because she's so old.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Young Maz Kanata.
Stepping out on the town.
Yeah.
Getting
those Wookiees. Because apparently she's like, I really like that Wookiee.
I like that Wookiee.
Where's my boyfriend?
That was awesome.
Oh my God, guys, I know. A crossover that's a one shot that's Boba Fett and Santi hanging out with Maz and her Wookiee boyfriend at the time. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Just swapping stories. It'll be like My Dinner with Andre, but Santi, Maz Kanata, and Boba Fett.
What if Maz Kanata had a thing with Santi? She digs Wookiees. I'm just saying.
You know, I think the one thing that I really want to see, and maybe it's just because I got so annoyed with how much they wouldn't stop the back and forth with it, is I want to see Han's fake marriage.
Oh yes.
And I don't even know if it's because I'm more curious or if I'm just more, I was just more annoyed by that back and forth. She's not my wife.
Right.
You're my husband. She's not my wife. Like, if you're going to focus on it that much, you've got to give me something.
Yeah,
something.
Maybe it'll be the movie. It. Maybe that'll be what the movie's about.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
That would be thought, pretty dope. Well, unless there's anything else you guys want to mention from past, present, or future Star Wars nonsensicalness.
Just go read it, guys. Like, go read all of it. Go read all of it. It's all great. You're gonna love it if you're a Star Wars fan.
It's gonna be fine.
Even read Chewie, because I'd like to hear someone's thoughts about it who actually liked it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Just like what they really liked about it, and
yeah.
So yeah.
All right. Well, it's a new year and we have a lot of new Star Wars things on the horizon. Try to catch up with some of those novels that they keep releasing. I was so excited they announced that two of the like novels were delayed.
Good.
And I was like, thank God, because you guys released like seven. So many novels at one time, which is fine because they're all great, but that's a lot of reading.
Go read the Han Solo and Chewie YA novel. I'm like halfway through it. It's pretty damn good so far.
Tarkin's great. Lords of the Sith is great.
We gotta read the Princess Leia one.
Yeah. Get that going.
Yes.
All right, guys.
It's going to be a good year.
It's going to be great. Stick with us. So hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. As always, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the Star Wars Book Club podcast every single time. On Twitter at SW Book Club. On Instagram at Modern Nostalgia Productions, which means you'll also be able to see our other two podcasts, Hollywood Already Did It and Modern Nostalgia Gaming. You can follow me personally at QuakeBorder55. You can find Harley at...
You can find me at Miss Harley R on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all that fun stuff.
And you can find Tyler at...
I'm at the Tie Game. And don't forget to check out ModernNostalgiaProductions.com because I did a revamp on it a few weeks ago and it looks way cooler now. So
what? All right, guys. We will see y'all later.